there. Good afternoon. You're very welcome to Tuesday on the Talk About programme with me, Deirdre Walsh, and I hope you're all in good form. Coming up on the show today, we have our final careers slot with Mary Lucy, the last one of 2025. And regular listeners will know that at the end of every year, on the December slot, Mary normally looks back at some of the people she's helped throughout the year, and she keeps note of some of the more dramatic career changes during the year. So we'll be hearing all about people who were in one job and all of a sudden decided to get career advice and ended the year in a completely different career. So I'm looking forward to that. It's always very entertaining and inspiring. So Mary will be with us later on. And if you have any queries for her, get in touch with us on the usual numbers. And a reminder of those, 083 300 3300 to text or WhatsApp. And if you prefer to phone us, it's 066 712 3666. We've also got a giveaway for you. We've got some fabulous books by Tralee photographer Shawnee Cleary, or John Cleary as many of you know him as. He recently launched his newest book, but he's got some copies of his books down through the years, stacked full of photographs of historical significance here in Kerry to give away to lucky listeners. So stay tuned for a bit of nostalgia about that, and I'll let you know how to win as well. But let's get down to business and meet our first guest. And let me tell you a little bit of background to his story. His name is Barra Fitzgibbon, and Barra had the unusual, we'll say, claim to fame of being the first COVID ICU survivor in the UK. Now, at the moment, we're all talking about this new strain of flu that's hitting the country. But of course, it's not that long ago that COVID hit Ireland, hit the world, and we were all terrified of contracting the virus, and unfortunately so many people died of it. Well, Barrow, as I said, was one of the first people in the, or the first person to survive COVID in the UK, having been in ICU. And his incredible story is now inspiring a darkly funny and heartfelt play called Patient Soldier that will be coming to Ireland in 2026. And I'm delighted to welcome him to the programme. Barra, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Deirdre. Thanks so much for having me on, and good afternoon to your listeners. Appreciate it.
Listen, where are you from originally? I know you live in the UK, but where are you from in Ireland?
Yeah, I'm from Dublin originally, Southside Dublin, and came to the UK 1999, many, many moons ago. So I've actually been in London longer than I've been in Ireland at this stage. But yeah, I came here back in 99.
Well, listen, I'm going to talk to you about the play in a minute or two. But can I begin, yeah, Barra, by asking you a little bit about how you contracted COVID and a little bit about how you ended up in ICU and all of that?
Of course. So it was the week, Deirdre, in March 2020, where the Irish cleverly had locked down. The UK hadn't. And I don't know if you remember that week, but it's an infamous week now here in the UK, because a recent COVID report has only come out in the last couple of weeks, talking about how if the UK indeed had closed down that week earlier, up to 23,000 lives could have been saved. And, you know, that report is quite damning.
And Cheltenham went ahead and everything, didn't it? The Cheltenham Racing Festival, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, like your Paddy's Day was shut down. Paddy's Day here was rocking, you know, and anyway, look, that's the way it was. And, you know, I went about that week, you know, washing my hands, like, certainly, but that was all I was doing. I was socialising, I was out shoulder to shoulder, packed pubs, all that kind of stuff. Basically, what started as a tickly cough literally spiralled out of all control in the space of maybe 5 or 6 days, where I was at home feeling poorly and stuff and ringing different kind of, you know, 111 over here in the UK. And eventually an ambulance was sent out to me, and I was brought into Lewisham Hospital here in ICU in London. Big shout out to Lewisham Hospital. And they had COVID wards, of course. Coronavirus is what it was called then, lest we forget. It wasn't called COVID for a few months after, but coronavirus wards. And I was on there. I had doing enough, had double pneumonia, had sepsis, had some liver failure, and I had COVID as well. So,
good Lord.
Yeah, horrendous. And 49 years of age, Deirdre, you know, like not, you know, I wasn't a smoker, cycling into work every day, good 8 mile cycle into work and back. You know, I was an active younger man. You know, it wasn't what the media was kind of spinning over here. Which
With no underlying conditions, I'm assuming.
None whatsoever.
Okay. So you went downhill very fast, it sounds like.
So oxygen levels dropped very, very quickly. And then they made a decision to put me into ICU, and they made a decision to put me into a coma. And that was a fully briefed coma, Deirdre. So God forbid anybody falls into a coma. But if you do, it's usually you don't know much about it. I knew I was going into one. I was given the odds of making it, which were about 50 to 60% of coming out of it. They didn't know when I was going to wake up. And all they said was, look, if you call family and friends, now would be the advice, and we're going to take you upstairs, in about 20 minutes. And of course, you know, nobody could visit. So I had to call Jen, my wife, and Jacob and Robin, the kids, on a WhatsApp video call and have a very, very, the most difficult conversation really I've ever had before or since that experience. But look, it obviously ended well. I'm here talking to you, and there's no long-term effects. You know, I'm very, very lucky in the recovery part of it. But at that stage, it was really, really hard, you know, and then went up to ICU, went into the coma for a six-day coma. And then I came out of it, you know, and I woke up, you know, and I was the first one to wake up in ICU there in Lewisham. And that's why you mentioned the play, Patient Soldier, but they nicknamed me Soldier in ICU. That's the name of the play. And that's why it's called that, because they had their first person to wake up. And when I woke up, Deirdre, I remember all the sort of, there was a lot of doctors and nurses and, you know, X-ray, all sorts of different people working in different departments were around the bed. Like it was a few people deep. And, you know, when I had the strength, I asked, why was that? And it was used as a motivation tool for them to keep going because they have somebody who woke up. When I was in there, there was 20 patients. And this is the same in Ireland, of course, but I had 20 patients when I went in around me. And within 4 to 5 days, there were 60 patients around me and no increase in staff. I'm sure the HSE will recognise that in Ireland. No increase in staff. Everybody doubling up their shifts. You know, what should be one nurse to a patient in an ICU wasn't that case anymore. You know, it was one nurse to a few patients. And yeah. And then what was interesting, why the play kind of worked so well, I think, is because when I woke up, they didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know where to put me. They didn't want to put me on a different, you know, back onto a ward because they didn't know if I was still contagious. But they just left me in ICU. And the norm in an ICU is that once you're in any way, shape or form getting any way better, you're immediately moved out of ICU. But they couldn't do that with me. So I had this extraordinary bird's eye view of just watching these magnificent, extraordinary, often very young people go to work, you know, and see what they had to do and what they had to go through in their working life, you know. And yeah, you know, it was extraordinary. And there was, you know, the play is full of comedy, because one thing I like to mention is that even in an environment like that, like, humanity doesn't stop playing out as humanity, you know, and there was a lot of comical things happened in that environment. There was laughter, despite the chaos, the madness, the war zone, effectively, you know, there were moments of laughter with fellow nurses and fellow doctors just trying to get through it all.
And how do you feel now looking back on that phase? Do you almost feel like it happened to somebody else? I mean, this is a near-death experience, effectively.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most interesting things, the play has played out in London, played in the West End, and one of the things we've had from audiences is them coming to us afterwards, and kind of an unexpected thing was them thanking the play and the space to allow them, number one, to process kind of what happened 6 years ago almost, but also for them to, a lot of those people in the audience had their own kind of near-death experiences or came close to something. And I think the most interesting bit of feedback was for the person who's going through it, for me, who's in the coma, it's actually, I'm in the easiest spot. It's actually your loved ones, it's your family, your wife, it's your kids, it's whoever. They're the ones who are really going through the pain because you're asleep. And I think what was interesting was people coming to us saying, thank you for making me realize what the family went through as opposed to what I went through, because it's very easy to make these experiences all about yourself. You know, we forget what loved ones and family and friends really go through, you know, when you're in that situation.
And this is now, as I said at the outset, been made into a play called Patient Soldier. Yeah. Were you a writer before this ever happened to you, Barra, or did this, you know, spur you on to become a writer?
Yeah, no, I never wrote anything. So what I did was I wrote a blog. So when I got out of hospital and got back home, I had about 8 to 9 months of recovery upstairs in the bedroom. You know, that's where I basically went. They got me out of the hospital as quickly as they could because they were worried I was going to catch it again, all sorts. So after my coma, I was home within 48 hours, which is kind of unheard of, you know, and they just, you know, crawled up the stairs, and that's where I stayed for many, many months. And I just wrote, and I wrote, I guess what you'd call a blog. You know, I wrote all the characters, all the interactions, all the people I met in that experience, the funny stuff, the hard stuff, all of it is in there. But, you know, it was literally 25 different characters, all sorts of stuff. I knew I had a good story, wasn't a playwright, but luckily I knew a brilliant person called Catherine White, who's coming on the Irish tour herself. She's going to be stage managing it and directing it and directing it. She came in, I asked her to read the blog and have a go at structuring some kind of a play out of it. She took it away for a year. And then she came back and she sort of reduced 25 characters down to 6. She made it into a one-person play. So it's one actor on stage playing all these different characters. And she made it funny. She made it, you know, there's a lot of tough stuff in there as well. But also what we have, Deirdre, which I think is what is extraordinary, is we have the real-life audio between doctors and my family, because my wife at the time, Jen, my wife at the time, she's still my wife, she'll kill me for that. She was recording these messages because she was sending any conversations she was having with doctors or consultants, she was sending back home to Ireland because she had obviously low energy, but also she didn't want to miss anything. She didn't want to not give the right information. So she would just literally send these conversations to my sisters, to mum, to my dad, you know, people in Ireland who were my friends who were worried, you know, and obviously wanted to hear news. So we have all those conversations and they all play out in the play. So you have this extraordinary kind of, you know, exposure to an ICU in the middle of this thing, at the very beginning of this thing, which I think offers, you know, a huge insight into what happens. You know, at the end of the day, this is a love letter to the NHS, to the HSE, you know, the medical health people around the world. It doesn't really matter. Yes, it's better than an NHS hospital in London, but it could be anywhere, you know. And those pieces of audio are kind of extraordinary, and they play out during the play. The play is narrated by the Grim Reaper.
Okay.
I had these hallucinations when you got to the gibber experience. But when you come out of a coma, you essentially hallucinate like crazy. Okay, because I think you're coming off the drugs, whatever drugs they put you under to make you go under. When you come out of those drugs, you hallucinate. So all the hallucinations that are in the play, some of them very funny, are all true. They all happened. I was having conversations with Grim Reaper. I thought doctors and nurses were putting on West End shows, putting on musicals, you know, this type of stuff. There's a lot of comedy in this. And I would, you know, what's great about the medical staff is, and I'm sure HSE, if anyone's listening in, they'll recognize this. When you turn around to a nurse or whoever's beside the bed and you say, can you see what's going on there? They're putting on Fiddler on the Roof in the corner of the, they go, yeah, that's grand. Yeah, that's all part of it. Don't worry. It's all,
they placate you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. They don't challenge you at all on it. I was never freaked. It's interesting because I was never freaked out by the hallucinations. I was never scared of them. I just kind of rolled with them. But I thought they were real. So all of them are part of the writing.
Of the play. And did you see what's on the other side? I mean, did you get to the famous Great White Light or the tunnel or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. I mean, I think if anybody else can talk about their experiences of a coma, when you go under, you go under. Like, there's no dream. I mean, I just don't remember those days whatsoever. I just remember waking up and then having these kind of mad hallucinations on a regular basis. But, you know, just kind of the actual duration of the coma was quite just a dark spot.
Can I ask you how your health is now, Barra? I mean, are you 100% fully recovered or do you have any lingering after effects of that awful COVID virus?
I mean, maybe a bit of fatigue, but I don't know if that's because I'm 55 now and I fall asleep in front of the TV at 9:30 at night. I don't know if that's just my age.
No, that's normal. I'm around that age as well.
But no, I tell you, Deirdre, I never thought I'd get back on the bike and cycle again into work. And I did manage that a few years later and I am back on the bike now. So you know, I did recover, you know, and I think there is some theory amongst the medical people who say that if you went down very heavy with COVID, your recovery was better for those who might have got it a bit mild or a bit not so bad, but they have long COVID. You know, they didn't from there. But look, listen, what happened to me was real and no doubt about it. And what I saw around me was real. You know, I'm not here to pretend to me. I'm not smart enough to be part of any great conspiratorial story. And trust me, neither is the NHS.
Yeah.
If anybody thinks they're capable of being part of some great con job, forget it. You know, they wouldn't have the time or inclination for it, you know.
Yeah, and as I said, it was so important that I established at the start of the interview that you were a perfectly fit, healthy 49-year-old man with, no underlying conditions, and you almost died from this virus. Barra, before...
And I wasn't alone.
And you weren't alone.
In the ICU. Yeah.
Lots of people did die. Barra, the play, as I say, is called Patient Soldier. Now, it's coming to St. John's, but it's in Listowel, but it's not until almost the summer, isn't it, that you're touring Ireland?
That's right. The tickets are on sale 16th of May. Is St. John's Listowel. It's also on in Cork Arts Theatre, may not be too much of a stretch either. That's 20th to 23rd of May. But that part of the country, Listowel, 16th of May, and Cork, 20th to 23rd of May. Yeah. And look, we have an Olivier-nominated director. We have Gary Traynor, who's come in as the lead actor. He's just done Doc Brown in Back to the Future, the musical here in London. We have an award-winning lighting designer from the West End called Adam Foley. We've the creative crew that's come on board with this now, it kind of takes my breath away a bit. I'm kind of, a bit overawed by the quality of people who've come in, the creative team behind it now. And it's a really immersive, it's a cracking show. It's only an hour long. There's a Q&A afterwards, and the Q&A is fabulous because we have people from the play in the Q&A. I'll be there. My wife will be there. We'll have some of the characters, some of the nurse Andrew, I know, is flying over. It was such an important comical character in the play. One of the highlights in the West End was we invited Lewisham ICU to come and see it, and they came, and about 10 of them came, and the matron came to the play. And don't depict matron as the kindest human being in this particular scenario, because, there was very much a reality of what things needed to be done, Deirdre. Anyway, what fills me with joy was that her laugh in the auditorium that night was the loudest laugh when she saw herself being portrayed. So I was delighted with that.
Brilliant. You must have done a good job.
I was conscious of that. I was thinking, I don't want to upset anybody from that place because they're all wonderful human beings, just being themselves, being human,
Well, so, listen, Barra, look, I was just going to say, I'm delighted that you survived to tell the tale. And, I think this is an important body of work for future generations, because it's the lived experience of somebody who almost died of COVID but did come back to tell the tale. So I think, generations to come will thank you for committing this to the form of a play, and I can't wait to see it when it comes to St. John's. Listen, we let you go, and we wish you continued good health in the future, and thank you so much for speaking to us this afternoon.
Bless you, Judy. My pleasure, and thanks so much for having me on.
And that is Barra Fitzgibbon there, speaking to us about the play Patient Soldier, which is coming to St. John's in Listowel, not until May, but I have a funny feeling it's going to be sold out. It's the 16th of May at St. John's in Listowel. But what a story. Barra was the first COVID ICU survivor in the UK. An incredible story, and what an experience he had.